Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And welcome back to Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. It is Saturday, April 6th, and one of the big stories in politics, and really society as a whole, for the last year and a half, bordering on 2 years now, has been the Me Too movement, and always this is synonymous with politics. Lots of crossover. The latest politician who's been wrapped up in this to an extent is Joe Biden, of course, former vice president, who has not yet officially announced his presidential candidacy for 2020, but all signs as of now are leaning towards that way. And to help us break down some of the latest accusation against Joe Biden, how to fit this into our perspective of him, and really just about all this stuff in general, we welcome on Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. She is a media psychologist. You can see her all over the place on NBC News and other platforms. Dr. Frieda, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
No, it's great. It's great to be here. So I know that you do a lot of your work focused on gender roles and ways to act around women. So I just want to get your first perspective of the Joe Biden situation. We now have seven women, I believe, who have come out and claim that he's touched them inappropriately, smelling their hair, putting his forehead against his when he's trying to show empathy, rubbing their shoulders, etc. He released an apology video of sorts a couple of days ago. But just what's your perspective on these accusations?
Well, you know, obviously we know that he is from a different generation,
right?
And that has been discussed many times over, and so his behavior is more part of how he grew up. But, you know, there are many shades of gray between black and white, and not all complaints are equal. So
right.
Joe Biden was actually trying to connect, and he does this, and unfortunately, he makes some people uncomfortable. So, you know, Lucy Flores, is it a coincidence that she was reporting him now 5 years later? She's a Bernie Sanders supporter, but it doesn't make it that he was right. So she had her own agenda and her own issues, but on the sidelines, she's really paving the way for other women to speak up when there is this gray area of not feeling comfortable with somebody else's conduct towards them. So here's a place for women to know that they don't have to be neglected, rejected, thought of as too aggressive, or people who are making problems or making trouble. We're finally speaking up about this, and it's being acceptable as something that is legit. We also have this sexual harassment involved with women, that when someone keeps repeating the same behavior, so if somebody stops the behavior, it's no longer sexual harassment. They did it in a way that they didn't want to provoke, unless it's somebody who wants power. These people who want power, they don't apologize. They feel they're right because their agenda is not to be liked. So it's very relative where all this is coming from. And, you know, my research has shown also that body language is very important for men to be able to read that. Women who express themselves, who are looking up, who are looking uncomfortable, that's a message in itself as well.
We're talking with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, and my name is Alex Reamer. So I want to pick up on what you mentioned You know, you talk about a lot of these accusers, and I'm reading here, this one woman, Caitlin Caruso, actually is a sexual assault survivor, said that Biden hugged her, quote, just a little bit too long. We also had this Allie Cole. She says she was a Democratic staffer in 08. She meets Biden at a reception. She says he held her shoulders, quote, for a beat too long. So this really seems like, as you mentioned, more of an example of Joe Biden just being an affectionate person and, you know, not taking into account that these women may feel uncomfortable. So I don't think it should be disqualifying. But the bigger issue is that, and I think you said this as well, that it's good for women to speak up when they are uncomfortable, right? I mean, that this is, yes, this is a good thing.
Exactly, Alex. You know, being subjective to a individual situation is just as important as objective and rules and the norm. So you are defining new norms, we are anyway, defining new norms today just as we speak about this, that women won't be looked down as troublemakers. And when they are feeling comfortable enough, we're looking at crossing the genders, the ethnic backgrounds of different people, the way they are brought up, that makes them comfortable or not. That's also something that's very relative. Just listening, having a company have a certain protocol of what it is that they need to do to set new rules, women will feel more comfortable, and the harasser will also stop continuing the same kind of conduct.
Would you say this was sexual harassment, these accusations against the former vice president?
Well, those were not the words, but that's right. What it does become when a person doesn't stop, then that is harassing. Actually, the vice president did the opposite. He said he didn't realize it, and he's not going to do it again. So his intent is very important. His intent was to please. His intent was not to have power over any other person. So once someone is identified in the right way, then we can move on, because it's really the message that we're giving, and we're being allowed to give a message that is something very new, which is that gray area that's not black and it's not white, that we have really ignored and looked away from. We've had presidents in the past that have had much bigger sexual issues as far as being inappropriate. That does not mean that they were bad presidents. I mean, the man does not make the presidency. It's the leadership roles. We have to remember that as well. Not everybody is perfect. So we have to really go into this reality base of the presidential candidate, Joe Biden, and his leadership qualities that shouldn't really deter from the real facts of what's right for our country. But, you know, when we're talking about communication and making somebody uncomfortable, well, if women feel that there's no retribution for it, then they will continue to make sure that they can be equal, not only in the workforce, but in society, because women and men have to address each other equally. It's the language. You don't call someone honey or sweetheart in the workforce. And we have to do what the Queen of England does. She says no touching. So maybe we should treat all women right, as if they were the queens in the office. That would make us feel good.
I'm sure that would be good for self-esteem. I'd like to be treated as the queen of the office as well.
Well, queen or king. Depends.
But, and you hear that from men a lot. You know, like, oh, like, what's next? You can't compliment a woman on her outfit and say, oh, that's a nice outfit. It's like, well, I mean, maybe not. Like, what would be so bad? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, why do you have to?
And it's sad in a way. It is sad for men, too. I really do feel the younger generation are getting mixed messages about dating. And is flirting okay?
But there are appropriate places to flirt and not
to
flirt,
to
right?
Meet somebody.
I mean, but there are appropriate places to flirt and not
exactly.
to flirt. You know, like, I think the rules could maybe be a little looser. You know, at a bar, you could say, oh, I like your outfit, versus, you know, if you're at a board meeting, you know, hey, it's a nice skirt you have. It's like, you know, there's a time and a place, right?
That's exactly right. So if it's two people mutually agreeing, then that's different than one person stepping into an area that's not part of the environment, as we were talking, such as the office. So we really need to be able to read our cues. We really need to know, as men often don't, and my research showed, they don't really often know the cues, and women need to tell them. And it's not only in the office, it's in relationships. I have women coming into my office telling me, you know, my husband never compliments me. So I say, well, maybe you need to help him and show him, because men are not really connected emotionally the same way women are. There's something about us that has to be different somewhere. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good.
Right, but you mentioned, though, and this goes back to our Biden conversation, you yes. mentioned intent. How important, though, is intent when you're talking about, you know, inappropriate actions, like, you know, the guy in the office, oh, when I said you look really hot, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. You know, Joe Biden, when I put my forehead against yours for many seconds, didn't make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, does that excuse the behavior, though, or?
It doesn't excuse the behavior, but if a person learns from his inappropriate behavior,
right.
then that is an intent to do the right thing. The intent was not to do the wrong thing. Joe Biden has made people feel good, has made
yep,
people
and some have come out and said that.
By giving them a hug and by supporting their needs in some way. So that can be interpreted as a positive as well. So it's not necessarily what someone does, but the way someone responds to what they do. There's a former wife of, she's still a wife, a former defense secretary, Ash Carter, Stephanie Carter. And during her husband's swearing in, Joe Biden put his arms around her and whispered in her ear and held her, put his hand on his shoulder. And she felt it was very comforting.
Right.
So there you go. That's that message that this person is being supported. Now, she knows him. That's way different than not knowing the person, of course. But it has to be equal support, both people. And then we go back again to how a man reads a woman and how to respond accordingly.
Yeah, I think the greater culture shift we're seeing, Doctor, if you even go to tie it back to Biden, is, you know, I think the bigger problem that he has in the Democratic primary, if he does decide to run, is his handling of the Anita Hill hearings. So when he was head of the Senate committee in the early 90s, not bringing on sexual harassment experts, etc. If you want to look at how times have changed, I mean, that to me is a true and true example of how times have changed. Now you feel like Democratic head of the Judiciary Committee, she would get a much fairer hearing than she would have gotten now. I think it's all about just taking these accusations seriously, which did not always happen, you know, in the very, you know, not so distant past.
Absolutely. You know, times have changed immensely. President Kennedy got away with, Clinton couldn't. And
yep,
then when, if you remember Clinton hugging Monica Lewinsky and when she was with people in the audience outside, was acceptable then. And today, look what happened. It's
right.
not acceptable. So we keep changing the way we interpret our body language, what that means today, what is emotional discomfort. Is that okay? But, you know, the answer is, even if it's just subjective, if that person doesn't feel right, then that is enough to change the way you behave towards another person. So it's not even right or wrong anymore. It's the person saying, I have authority over myself, and I need to be respected for that authority. It goes that far.
Right, right. But how about the fact, too, that there seem to be different rules depending on how you respond to it? Like, I look at Donald Trump, for example, who retweets something making fun of Biden in a video, who's been credibly accused of sexual assault by more than a dozen women, but he denies, and then attacks their character, and he gets elected president, and that's not even on the first list of things that people bring up against him, which is unbelievable, especially when you think about the era in which we live. And they have a guy like Al Franken, who's accused of some inappropriate touching, not to rank him, but, no sexual assault, and, he resigns from his Senate seat and could have been a candidate, but, may never be heard from again, at least for a while in politics. So to me, what seems unfair, though, Dr. Frieda, is it seems like, too, in terms of public figures, it comes down to if the guy is culpable and admits culpability, he gets punished worse, it seems like, than a man who doubles down and denies the accusations. Which seems messed up to me.
We're not all Donald Trump, and that's the answer right there. He's different, and he, gets out of predicaments in every area of his life. He's a pro at doing this, so we can't take that into consideration. But you're right. If somebody speaks up, does it make them more guilty? Does it make him more susceptible to not being in charge of what's going on around him? And this, again, is very, very individual. And we are playing with a situation in our lives that is very new to us because we're exposing all kinds of areas that were never exposed before. So we're making new rules as we go, as we speak. Is it saying that you're guilty by saying that you're sorry? Does that mean that you'll stop doing what you're doing? Well, that's good in a way. That's a positive. You're not going to continue that harassment. But then again, if you say you're guilty, does that mean that you're saying that you did something wrong and that you should be judged for that and that should be cemented in time? Not necessarily. Again, it depends on the individual situation. So what I am saying to you right now is that we really have to be sensitive to what is going on and not have just a set of rules to go by because they don't apply anymore.
Right, and you talk about these new rules. We hear a lot about new rules of engagement, to use a phrase, between men and women, like even in a professional setting. Is it now just handshake only? I mean, it obviously varies person to person, but what are these new rules that we're alluding to here?
Well, even a handshake, it depends. I said something the other day, the direction we're going into, because I'm Jewish and I come from a background that has some Orthodox people. Well, their rules are you don't stay in the same room with the opposite sex.
Right.
Alone. You don't shake hands for sure. You don't touch. I guess you can have eye contact.
True.
We're going in that direction of being, it sounds so puritanical. But if that's going to mean that there are some people out there that don't apply it in a way that is comfortable for the other person. If you're shaking hands, are you shaking hands a little bit too long? If you're looking at someone, are you flirting with that person? All these things are coming to question when I use the word subjective, is something that we cannot take and measure it as a whole and say, in general, this is what applies. It's not that easy. But even if you feel that other person who's complaining is wrong, it does not matter. It's just a matter of respecting and treating everyone equally in the workforce when you're going to go ahead and make important decisions. You don't want to be distracted by having someone flirting with you. You know that in the workforce, they don't encourage relationships or dating,
right?
Because that affects the dynamics as well. Well, I feel that dating and finding a relationship in the workforce is actually easier. You get it over with. You end up involved with that person, and there is no feeling of inequality, of stress, of any kind of tension.
If you're what, dating someone you work with?
Dating someone you work with, if you feel that you like someone, then it's equal consent, which is very different than feeling harassed by someone
right.
who is flirting or coming on to you when you are not acknowledging it or accepting
it. Oh, right, of course. But how about the power dynamics at play, though? Like a boss dating an underling, aren't there just natural, uncomfortable power dynamics in a relationship like that?
When we talk about consent, it's far worse for a boss to put his arm around someone as a power a force, to touch someone, to call them darling and sweetheart, and to do whatever it is to put them in an unequal situation without the other person's consent. So I guess I keep going back to the same answer. If both parties are agreeable with the situation, that is defined as being appropriate. If one party is not agreeable, then that is defined as being inappropriate.
Yeah, but if you have that situation, which we discussed, a boss and an underling or superior and an underling, however you want to phrase it, and you get asked out for drinks or for a date, doesn't the underling feel pressured to say yes? So even though they're saying yes, is it true? It just seems like a messy situation to me, potentially.
Well, you're right. People do get together in relationships for status,
yeah.
For staying employed to please their boss. You're absolutely right. But can we have those rules without those rules not being followed through? Because in the workforce, those rules are not being followed through. People are dating behind the scene with other people without other people knowing it. I mean, I know someone who comes to see me. He's an executive, and he's dating someone, but nobody knows about it because that's what they will end up doing. If there is a mutual attraction or a mutual agreement between two people inside or outside the office, no matter what their status is, it's hard to get everyone to be on board with this. It just is not always working.
Right. No, exactly. So where do you think we kind of go from here? Do you think that this continues to get ratcheted up, or do we reach the point in the Me Too movement, where it goes so far in one direction that you see the pendulum swing back in the other direction, which does happen through the course of history?
Absolutely. We need to know that there are two people involved, two genders involved, and to be sensitive on the other side as well. Before you accuse, is this something that you are really certain about? Is this something that is in your discomfort? Is it coming from the source that you're accusing it from? You have to be very careful. You could get innocent people in trouble as well. And then we spoke about the dating situation. What are the rules for dating? And does that mean those rules are different? Yes. I can't even talk anymore. The opposite sex of gender can flirt. Can compliment, can go ahead and have a few drinks, and do all the things that are necessary to be part of your sexual identity. But that's
right.
Where it stops. It stops when you go into your workplace. But people are having difficulty with that at times because it doesn't seem natural. As long as it's a man and a woman together, there is going to be sexual tension. Well, it depends what ages you are, too. You know, if there's some kind of attraction, that's part of life. But it doesn't mean you have to act on it. That's the different situation. And
yeah.
Those that act on it to make another person uncomfortable,
right.
That's when it's inappropriate.
Right. I mean, that's a great point. And you look back at, you know, the most egregious and really harrowing Me Too examples we've had. Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly is up there. I mean, he paid one of his victims just as much money as OJ paid Nicole Brown Simpson's family. So you say, like, what the hell did he do to that poor woman? And that stuff where it seems like you have very rich, powerful, older guys who wanted these women and were just not satisfied taking no for an answer, or really felt like that they deserved these women, and the women, in their opinion, didn't even matter. They just took what they wanted. And I think, you know, moving away from that obviously is great for everybody. And that, to me, is always the biggest message of the Me Too movement. And there's lots of subtleties beneath that, but that's the biggest takeaway that I have.
Exactly.
I don't think there'll be many more Harvey Weinsteins, hopefully. What'd you say? I'm sorry?
Those norms, when a producer seduced, or even a young woman tried to seduce the producer, who knows what went first at times, they are not getting away with this anymore. We are on the alert to what happened then. A young woman being dressed provocatively does not mean that she's open sexually.
Right, she's asking for it.
She's asking for it, right. What about women with tattoos? Does that mean they're more promiscuous? Or somebody who's wearing, a short skirt, or whatever that means? So men have to look at their own messages and their own language and the mindset of the powerful older man with the younger girl, because she wants his power, and his status has been fading away rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly a lot to break down. But I guess too, another point too you have is there going to be a point where we differentiate the punishments? You know, like, obviously, again, just to use public examples since everybody knows these people, you know, obviously a Harvey Weinstein is never going to work again, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, but then you have a guy like Al Franken who there's more of a gray area. Should he have the same death penalty type professional punishment as Bill O'Reilly or Roger Ailes before his passing? Like, it doesn't seem like the crime, like, we differentiate crimes all the time, right? You don't get a life sentence for a petty robbery as you would for murder. So is it insensitive to wonder if we can have a differentiation, or is that part of this natural conversation?
No, it's not insensitive at all. It's insensitive not to do, to make the difference.
Yeah.
And to look at it in a different manner. And that's exactly where we have to go. We have to make new rules as we speak. When someone is practically raping someone, we can't say that's the same as somebody who is suggestively flirting with somebody.
Right.
Of course not. And one is physical and one is emotional. And when we're looking at the two different places of being inappropriate, one is more criminal than the other. So we really have to go through the broad range of making sure that people are held responsible for their behavior according to what their behavior is and according what the interpretation is as well. We have to be careful that the interpretation is not wrong from the person who feels victimized.
And you mentioned a lot of this is cultural as well.
Yes, it's very cultural. When we go to Italy, I don't know if they still do that because I haven't been there for a while, but men touch other strange women.
Yeah, right.
They do that. They think that's a way of flirting with them.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Certainly spans across culture and times. This is ever-changing. Very interesting topic. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, she is a psychologist. You can read her on a variety of platforms. She's contributed to the Washington Post and New York Daily News. Also, she's been on NBC News, many other news outlets. Dr. Frieda, pleasure for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so
much.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Made it easy.
Absolutely. Try our best. Thank you again.
Thank
great
you so
insight.
Much.
We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. That's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, a psychologist, to help us talk about the Me Too movement. And really a great week to do it with all the Joe Biden news that's been coming out the last couple days. It's a fascinating topic. I could talk about it for hours on end. You know, in general, and you saw this a lot with the Kavanaugh hearings, and I know we did several shows on that back in the fall, is in general, it's good to believe the women. That should always be the first inclination, almost always. Believe the woman and then see what the evidence is. You know, I keep going back to Dr. Ford. That episode really showed us where you stand on this, because she had a lot of the evidence. She had a lot of the recall. Some of the details were blurry, but psychologists say they blacked that out, but she seemed beyond credible. You know, so it really is about changing the conversation. And for decades, if not centuries. This stuff has been buried underground. And I've always said, if it's powerful guys like the Weinsteins or politicians or news anchors like O'Reilly, executives, if they're doing this to women in professional settings and women with college degrees and women with professional aspirations and professional successes, what's happening at your local grocery store, your local convenience store? I mean, what kind of Me Too stuff is happening there? And so we obviously pay attention to these public figures because that's who we know. But the greater conversation is that this stuff is happening across society. And with the pendulum swinging more towards the women, like that's the way it should be. And I'm sure we'll have corrections. As I asked Dr. Frieda, I think we have a lot of sorting out to do in terms of the penalties. And I don't think that everybody should have a lifetime banishment. We have a scale of this stuff, obviously. And you don't want to say that outwardly, maybe, because it comes across as insensitive. But I like that Dr. Frieda said, no, it's a conversation we should have. There should not be the same punishment for very different crimes, which seems like in some circles, that's what people are advocating for, at least in a professional sense. If you get accused of any of this stuff, you got to go away forever, regardless of the facts, regardless of the scale of it. And that, it too, I think, is wrong as well. But thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. Again, a big thanks go out to Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Got a lot of comments for our last show, the healthcare discussion we had with our healthcare expert. Appreciate the kind words. If you have any topic ideas, send me an email, alexr@weei.com. That again, alexr@weei.com. We'll talk to you with a new show in a couple weeks. See ya. Thank you as always for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.